Seated. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today we celebrate the Feast of the Ascension, when Jesus supermanned it back to the Father until he returns to judge both the living and the dead. We heard the recap from Acts that Luke writes to his benefactor Theophilus, which means God lover, so it really could have been written to anybody who loves God, as much for you and I as it was for the original patron. And it's a welcome change, because we have spent the last few weeks listening to the farewell discourse from John as Jesus prepared his followers for what was to come before Holy Week. So we are now definitely post-Holy Week and in the book of Acts. Throughout the Gospel, we hear that Jesus is on this journey to Jerusalem, where the main act occurred. And he preached that the Messiah would suffer and die and rise from the dead and preach repentance for the forgiveness of sins in Luke. And we know that come Holy Week and the crucifixions, his disciples would abandon their leader because they were afraid. And honestly, who wouldn't have been? However, this morning we meet a transformed group of believers when we look at the scriptures today. Instead of asking questions about where Jesus is going and who's going to get to sit where, we find instead disciples not acting out of fear and selfish desire. We see them instead obeying, rejoicing, praying together and blessing God in the temple day and night, much like Anna, the prophetess, who was, I think, the week after Easter, many weeks ago now. Their encounter with the risen Jesus and his post-resurrection teachings have strengthened them to become the messengers of the gospel and the first preachers who would speak about God and what God had done in Jesus. Why? Because the resurrection changed everything. Now they were ready for what came next. And it's interesting that Luke calls it proofs. People often say, well, you know, where's the proof? What's right there? He wrote it. It's right there. It's the proof. There we go. Everything has changed for them now. Instead of the focus being on the road to Jerusalem and the cross, Jesus now says, turn around and go out from Jerusalem into Galilee, Samaria, and even the ends of the earth. They are being sent. Jesus ascends into heaven and the disciples look after him. And it's as though one chapter was closing and another is opening. And now the story is theirs to carry in the same way that it is ours. We hear that they were baptized with the Holy Spirit, clothed with it and strengthened with it, so that they could keep telling the story, not worrying about how Jesus rose from the dead and ate with them, not worrying about how it's possible that he flew to heaven and disappeared from their sight in the clouds. They didn't get drawn into debates about whether it was possible or if it happened. They were witnesses who believed, and the disciples followed Jesus' last instructions, going to Jerusalem to wait. They didn't have to pass a test or change who they were. They didn't have to lose 50 pounds or run a marathon or get their teeth straightened. No. We heard that they needed a bit of a nudge, that was all. In gazing up at this magnificent sight, which is depicted at a small church, I think in Walsingham, England, with a pair of feet in the ceiling, which is painted with clouds, gazing up at this incredible sight, a couple of messengers appear, much like the morning at the tomb, and say, what are you doing looking up there? Your gaze is supposed to be outwards, not upwards. Get going. By baptizing new believers, sharing the Eucharist and telling Jesus' story, following his teachings, they carried that story forward, and the body of Christ grew. Of course, they went to wait for what we now call Pentecost, but I don't want to do spoiler alerts for next week because Ron's preaching, and that just seems cruel. As the disciples preached the good news, as we have heard over the last few weeks from our first readings in Acts, we know that new disciples were made, and Paul writes to the Ephesians, which was a church that he'd visited and preached to, that he's giving thanks for them as part of Christ's body. Now, there was a fantastic short film made a few years ago called Comfortable, 50 People, One Question. It was part of a Jubilee celebration, I think. And the one question was, if you could change one thing about your body, what would it be? And a bunch of adults were asked and chose things like smaller ears, better skin, I'd like to be taller, I've got one crooked foot, this kind of thing, I'd like to straighten that out. And then they asked a bunch of children, if you could change one thing about your body, what would it be? And then there was a long pause, and the first one answered, I think I like a mermaid tail. One kid said, I'd like to be able to fly. Some wings would be really cool. And one said, I want legs like a cheetah so I could run faster than anyone else. And the film illustrated how as we grow, we become more insecure and less satisfied with ourselves, particularly our bodies. And we criticize our bodies. And sometimes we do this with the body of Christ too, when we criticize each other, when we don't like how someone put the coffee supply away, or we don't agree with the way that something is organized, or, you know, we look at the church and we say, oh gosh, you know, it's so irrelevant, it's not doing anything great. We try to make it into something that is airbrushed and beautiful, like a magazine model on Cosmo, and it's just not that way. But why isn't it? Like, if Jesus knew that the people he left behind who became the church wouldn't be perfect, why would he leave this message with them? And I think two things. I think that's why God sent the Holy Spirit, because he knew he was going to need some help, and because, you know, God makes promises and keeps them. But also because we're enough for God. So every single one of us is enough, crooked feet and all. Jesus had spent enough time with humanity to know that there were going to be a few screw-ups and that somebody wouldn't put the coffee away right. And he blessed them anyway. And this blessing is the blessing that we mimic as part of our liturgy at the end of the service when the priest gives the blessing to the congregation. We are reenacting that moment when Jesus blesses the disciples before he leaves them to remember the ascension into heaven. So Jesus knew that while we will always make mistakes, he had taught us to be enough and to love ourselves as enough. He had taught us to love and to forgive, and encountering God in Jesus and receiving the Holy Spirit would be everything that we need. And living this way, striving to love one another as he loves us, forgiving and returning to Jesus daily, this in a way creates a kind of perfection, which I think is God's way of showing us you are enough. You can do these things and you are enough the way that you are. Because why else entrust such a beautiful message to a ragtag bunch of fishermen, tax collectors, and women from the first century? Yes, there were women there. You know, the text is very human as well, very patriarchal. Simply, we are enough, and we become part of Christ's perfect body by living the Jesus way. The body of Christ is a community of people striving to live and model the Jesus way of living, and it is very good news, and it is absolutely still growing. We are that body today, and I see the body growing here at St. David's and St. Paul's, and if someone asked me, is there anything you would change about that body, while a mermaid tail for everyone would be so cool living near the coast, although it would have to be one where, you know, like that movie where it just gets wet and then you get the tail so that you're not, like, you know, trying to walk with a mermaid tail, I would honestly say, you know, that'd be great, but nothing. I would not change anything about this perfectly imperfect body of Christ. Each one of us is welcome here just as we are, and I only pray that we continue to find the courage of those first disciples to carry God's story forward, and instead of looking upward or looking downward at our bulletins and our feet, that we would instead continue to look outward and reach outward to the people around us. Walking in Jesus' ways, following Jesus' commandments and reaching out to others, praying for guidance and discerning what comes next chapter by chapter. We have a new chapter coming in a few weeks, and I don't want to jump ahead to that just yet, but when that new chapter begins, I know that all of you will continue to be here and continue to be welcoming and hospitable to your new priest, who is going to love you and find you just as perfectly imperfect as I have. And I know that. And she is here in Powell River with her partner, and they're settling in really well. So continue to pray for them and pray for this community and love one another. Amen.